Reese on the radio, making sense of the news. Yeah, even when it makes no sense at all. Now on WTIC, News Talk 1080.
All right, we are back. It is Reese on the radio. We've got plenty of news and plenty of views to get into. Hollywood news is about Netflix. There's another story that just came out about them. Aside from the transgender nonsense, we'll get to that in the 5 o'clock hour. Don't forget, we've also got gubernatorial candidate Josh Elliott is going to be on the program. He'll talk about his campaign, how well it's doing, how well it isn't doing, and I'll get to ask my controversial questions and my conspiracy question, is he waiting for Mom Donnie to win? That'll happen in the next hour. Stand by for that. Now let's get to some headlines. Mayor Eric Adams has one more duty before his tenure as mayor comes to an end. And that's deciding who he's going to endorse other than Zohran Mamdani. Adams says that Zohran will destroy the city with his policies. And many believe that it won't make a difference if he endorses either Cuomo or Curtis Sliwa, because according to the sports betting group, the Action Network, Mamdani sits at a 91% probability of becoming mayor of New York. Congratulations! Mom Donnie, or as my wife likes to call him, Com Donnie. Communist? That, anyway. Anita Thompson, who is the widow of Gonzo writer Hunter S. Thompson, is requesting a new investigation into her late husband's death by suicide. He died back in 2005. The writer was pronounced dead by a self-inflicted gunshot wound. I remember covering this story back then. He was 67 years old at the time. But per Anita's request, the Colorado Bureau of Investigation, that is like the local, you know, everybody has a local FBI, so to speak. The Colorado Bureau of Investigations is now launching a new review of the original Pitkin County Sheriff's Office investigation. Anita believes that he did not kill himself, that he may indeed have been murdered. And we'll find out. Several new laws are taking effect in Connecticut, one of which, I don't know if this is going to be that effective, and it seems to be confusing. One of the laws is that street takeovers now will get hefty fines up to $2,000 for violations or license suspension by the organizers. I think that should be revoked, but I guess you're going to get a suspension. How long that's going to last, I don't know. The other new Connecticut law is that it's also banned first cousin marriages. Is that a thing? I mean, there are some places I would have expected it, but Connecticut, you need a law for this, huh? I'm rethinking the whole move in a month, by the way. It's interesting. I didn't know that was a thing. By the way, I know some people are going to start texting me and going, oh, I know a guy. I don't want to know. Some of you are eager to get on my Facebook, to get on my ex account and say, Reese, I know a guy. Not interested. This is not one of those stories I need the background on. Okay? If they say it's true and there must be a law, I'm just going to accept it as is. Acceptance is always the answer. Now for the stupidest thing I read today.
I look as stupid? Yes, you do.
Stupid as can be.
This could very well be the stupidest person on the face of the earth.
You know, there is a reason why you have to vet people who come into the country illegally. And this story out of Ohio is a perfect example of why. Many that lived in the Perryville, Ohio town believed that Anthony Emmanuel Labrador Sierra was a 16-year-old human trafficking victim. It turns out he was actually 24 years old and had a baby with his ex-fiance living in Toledo. One night, Evelyn Camacho, the fiance, baby mama, who's 22 years old, called Labrador Sierra's daughter called the house where he was living. They did not expect the answer that they were getting, but she realized that the house that he was living in, the folks that he was living with, were under the impression he was a 16-year-old boy. They had enrolled him into high school and everything. She said, I was questioning what the truth was. She told the New York Post, did he lie to me about being an adult, or did he lie to them about being a child? I didn't know what was going on, and I care about him. He's the father of my daughter. Kathy and Brad Mefford, the migrants' guardians, called the school after Camacho called, and the school called the police. Law enforcement searched his bedroom to discover a burner phone, a fake ID, and a semi-automatic pistol with ammunition. When asked how the school could have possibly missed this, they released this following statement. Every school should listen to this. Schools are required to immediately enroll unaccompanied minors without requiring standard enrollment paperwork. While we're not required to, the school district did not obtain a birth certificate. Now think about that. A lot of these schools and a lot of these administrators are activists. Their first role is to protect migrants, illegals, undocumented, whatever it is they're calling them this week. So if somebody enrolls in the school and says, I've got no paperwork, the school turn a blind eye. Okay, no problem. Just come on in. You know it. You know it. Without a doubt. But because, again, as they said, they're required to immediately enroll unaccompanied minors without required standard enrollment paperwork. And you know that plenty of these folks are, activists. That's what they are. They're not administrators. They are activists. That's exactly what they do. They just bring new kids in there. 24-year-old pretending to be a 16-year-old. They had guardians. Kids got a semi-automatic weapon with ammunition in the house. So goes it. Oh, Cicero, is that how you pronounce your name? Cicero's in the chat room. He says, I wonder how many Trump supporters thinks it's appropriate for him to. Him to what? The incomplete sentence. Whatever it is that they're teaching in these liberal schools, no wonder the test scores are so horrible. Appropriate for him to what? Can you finish the sentence? Perhaps you can finish it in here a little bit. Craig asks, what if the cousins are trans? No, cousins is the key word here. Doesn't matter whether or not they're trans. You cannot marry your cousin. Are you asking for a friend? I hope not. I got a message on Facebook. I love it when people link me to stories on Facebook, and I got one today about a man who is a Trump supporter who was arrested for making threats to the Pride community. And I was tagged in it by a liberal. And my response was what anyone would expect from me. So I want to give you some guidelines if you are approached in this way. So somebody tags you on a post that says, a Trump supporter threatened violence against whatever protected class there is. And it's posted by a group called Occupy Democrats. You know, they're really, really popular. Here is your response. And it should be written, I'll paraphrase what I wrote. In a desperate attempt to change the obvious facts that liberals and leftists are violent against Republicans, conservatives, and Christians alike, you scour the internet to find one story about a Trump supporter who made threats against the LGBTQ community. You wouldn't have to do that if the obvious weren't already true. Because this is something I tell to these guys all the time. What is fact, you don't have to defend. As I said to you on the show, I get all the phone calls. I know half of them don't listen. They call in late. They haven't been listening to the program. And they come in here and say, Reese, did you see this story about blah, blah, blah? And I'm like, yeah, I didn't mention it today because it's not a story. What do you mean it's not a story? It's not, if you, there is a reason why the news media sort of puffs up a story to make it the story. If I haven't explained this before, it's because they're trying to destroy a narrative that hurts them. They so desperately wanted the guy at the, the Mormon church to be a Republican, to be a conservative. Notice the story's gone, right? Story's gone. It's nowhere to be found. Why? Didn't fit their narrative. And if it doesn't fit their narrative, they'll run for the hills. Ah, we can't pin it on them. All right, move on. People are still picking through the carnage. What do you mean, move on? Don't you want to find out, you know, whose lives were harmed by this? Which families were devastated by this event? What do you mean you moved on? Ah, get the cameras. Yeah, he wasn't a Trump supporter. Now, it's no story here. Why would I be upset at the obvious? It's the obvious. What they are desperately trying to do is to shield themselves from the clear, I would say culpability for what happened to Charlie Kirk. It's resonating. It harms them. It does. They wake up every morning knowing that that vision sits in the minds of millions of Americans and millions worldwide. And they are doing everything to squash it. That's how you know that it is affecting them. See, he was a Trump supporter. Somebody sent me a picture of him, got, I guess, by the water with his family and telling me that he was in a Trump shirt. Not even thinking that, like, the internet is everywhere. And sure enough, it turns out that somebody had photoshopped Trump 2020 on his camouflage shirt. But it didn't stop people from believing it. It didn't stop believing people from posting it and sending it to me, which again, if I may, let me say something. Stop insulting me. Just stop, because I'm going to start taking offense. And let me explain to you what I mean by taking offense. Like, I'm going to take it personal. The next time one of you yahoos posts something that you did not clearly vet, that you just read the headline of, and then send it to me as proof of something. It's like I haven't explained to you enough. Like, I haven't proven myself enough to know that I've already got the background on the story before your lazy ass even heard of the story. You are lazy. You don't do this work because you don't have to. You don't get paid to do this. You get your news from your Facebook or your X feed, and whatever it is that may tickle your fancy, you then post, and you say, I gotta send this to Reese. And you think that for some odd reason, I haven't already read this story 9 times. Every one of the stories that you are out there, I've already read 9 different sort of dissertations of that same story from 9 different sources. Because I don't just read things. If something seems odd and something seems to be odd, I was like, whoa, okay, that doesn't make sense. Let me go somewhere else. I'm doing the work for you. So until you actually start dedicating some time to these stories, like really dedicating them, stop wasting my time. Don't text me. Don't send me messages. Don't tag me in anything. Do your job. If you want to prove something to be true, somebody posted something today about what Donald Trump said in 2011 about government shutdowns. Donald Trump wasn't the president of the United States in 2011. What's that got to do with the price of eggs today? It's got nothing to do with it. Well, he said in 2011. And it's like that. It's amateur hour out there. Stop trying to prove me wrong. Just stop trying to do it. Bob says, I just saw 2 fake videos about Schumer and Jeffries posted by Trump. Is this a good use of time or is he just being childish? Let's see who can be objective. Oh, absolutely. Okay, so let's take what Bob just said here. Clearly not a Trump supporter. Clearly somebody of the left. You obviously have a very, very short memory. I was here, you were here, we were all here when Jimmy Kimmel said that the person who killed, assassinated Charlie Kirk was one of MAGA. And when he was suspended for it, he came back on the air and said that Donald Trump tried to cancel him because he could not take a joke. His words. Was it a joke? There was no laugh. There was nothing funny about what he said. What he said was a lie. But we were told that Jimmy Kimmel was taken off the air because we couldn't take a joke. The guy got back on the air and was crying about it. His $16 million payroll. $500,000 a day program cost. And toilet ratings. And we were told, that's what we were told, that we couldn't take a joke. And Donald Trump posts a video of Hakeem Timu Obama Jeffries in a sombrero with a fake mustache. And now you're talking about a waste of time? To post a meme? What's my favorite two words? Spare me. You know that's ridiculous. Can't you take a joke? I'm sure you can. But it just took a matter, what was it, a week now? It's a week. And all of a sudden, who are the people with the thin skin? Who are the people who are losing their mind, their collective minds about it? You are. So what? So what is the president? Which means what? The president means he's not allowed to joke. He's not allowed to tell jokes. He's not allowed to post memes. He's not allowed to make fun of people. Let's go there, Bob. Let's go there. He's not allowed. Let's go there. People are calling him Hitler. People are calling him a fascist. People are calling him a dictator. People are taking shots at him. People are plotting to put him in jail. People are saying that if they take control of Congress, they're going to impeach him again. They're planning on doing god-awful things to him. He posted a meme. Spare me. He shouldn't be sophomoric? Bill Clinton shouldn't have pleasured himself in the Oval Office. I remember you calling that his personal business on the public dime. Come on, dude. Everybody knows you're a hypocrite. Why display it here? I mean, you guys are playing dumb. These people play dumb. I want to give them the benefit of the doubt. I think that they are smart people, but I know that they're partisan. And to really, really be that, and that's the whole thing. That it's such a simple thing, posting a meme. It takes 2 minutes to post a meme. And everybody's talking about, well, he should be more professional. A lot of people should be more professional. A lot of people should tone it down a little bit, but they don't. A lot of people should stop calling their political opposition fascists. A lot of people should tone down the rhetoric and act a little more professional. Some people should not be standing outside of the Board of Education or ICE facilities getting into fights. How about a sitting member of Congress throwing bows like a ludicrous video in New Jersey? Are those the actions? I mean, are those the actions that you say a sitting congresswoman should behave like? Or is that par for the course? I mean, she is an elected official, isn't she? But I didn't hear anybody bellyaching about her behavior at all. And you won't. It's always, Donald Trump's the president. He should behave better than that. Spare me. Nobody cares that you're offended at all, at all. You get no wins here. Please go anywhere else with that nonsense. Go talk to NPR and go cry with them. Grab your tissue. Bounce. Please don't bore me with that nonsense. We got to take a break. We'll be back. More news, more views when we return.
Happy birthday to us. 100 years of serving Connecticut.
We're back, Reese, on the radio, WTIC News Talk 1080. You know the telephone number, 860-522-WTIC, 860-522-9842. And today we've got gubernatorial candidate Josh Elliott on the program. I just confirmed with him. He's going to be here in a little short of a half an hour, and we'll talk to him as long as I possibly can keep him here. To talk about a bunch of things about his campaign, about what his campaign plans are. We'll talk about how he is faring against his primary challenger. That's the incumbent, Ned Oakley-Dokley-Lamont. In all of that, I'm going to offer him that Oakley-Dokley moniker. He probably, hey, he likes to use the word fascist. Maybe he won't have a problem with using the word Oakley-Dokley. Let me read a couple of comments and then I'll go to the phones. Rollo, I'm hoping I'm pronouncing that right, says, would Republicans have felt the same about Obama posting fake videos? Be honest. Personally, I think there's too much BS on both sides. We need people who are serious about working for the best interest of the American people. I would throw all of them out along with their lobbyist friends and then put in term limits. I can agree with every one of those things. But let's not treat the meme thing like it was consuming all of Donald Trump's time. You know that Donald Trump in this term has been absolutely over the top transparent. He takes questions during press conferences, unprecedented questions. Like we're talking hour long. He preempts all news cycles with his press conferences, answering to the public and answering to the press. And it's all done in front of cameras. His cabinet meetings the same way. When he is going on to Marine One to go to Air Force One, he stops and he takes questions from the galley of reporters that are there. And not only that, every time you turn around, there's more and more legislation, and he's fighting more and more injunctions on his legislation and his executive powers. So it's not like the guy's not doing his job, okay? Suggesting that what he's doing in some way is a distraction. Are you kidding me? We've got an entire Democrat Party screaming to the rest of you, he's killing our democracy every night! Why? Because every day he's doing something new. In fact, he's so busy, Democrats don't know what they're upset about day to day. So this nonsense about whether or not Obama wasn't even this busy. Obama was showing up at the White House at 9. Trump is texting at 3 a.m. Yeah, that's right. Barack Obama, the second African-American president in history, showed up to work at 9. While most presidents show up at 6 a.m. Then Joe Biden beat him with a 10 o'clock till 4 o'clock lid. Come on. Spare me. I can even say this. Barack Obama's first 2 years in office, what did he do? One thing. He passed the Affordable Care Act. Where was all the legislation? Huh? Where was the feverish work ethic that was coming out of the Obama administration? Of course he didn't have time to post memes. He was doing nothing. So do you think like, I love these people who act like we weren't all there. We were all there. We all witnessed it. We weren't the ones sitting in a bubble. We were actively working against at least the election of Barack Obama. And of course, when he was elected, we went through his entire record with a fine-tooth comb, especially this guy. There isn't anything I couldn't tell you about Barack Obama. I was talking to people who were singing his praises and didn't even know his kid's name, didn't even know his wife's name, didn't even know how long he had been in office in Chicago, didn't even know where he was from, had never read any of his books. They just loved him for the simple reason he was half black. So please stop talking to me about what Obama did. Nothing. 860-522-WTIC. Yes, Tim.
Yes, I've got a new nickname and stuff. I want you to start calling me Teabag, okay?
Okay. Are you joining the tea party?
No, not a tea party. Tea bag.
No, I'm saying, are you joining the tea party? That would be a great gang name.
That was the Republican.
Stop. I'm going to say to you again, Tim, you've got to take that stuff like a champ.
No. I think it's fine that,
okay,
that you put the Mexican hat and little thing on stuff on it. This was the president. Who, by the way, I have a very important question for Josh Elliott. Seriously.
Go for it.
At my end. Okay. First off, healthcare, whether we do this and open the government back up and everything, mine continues to go up tremendously.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you were on, you know, the radio station's healthcare plan, but my mm-hmm. healthcare costs are through the roof. I never hear anybody calling, you know, and talking about it.
I know why they're not talking about it, but I can ask you this question. Hear about it. Since you want to talk about it, answer this question. Why do you think your healthcare costs keep going up?
Well, first off, you know, the healthcare costs, you know, this Obamacare is actually Romney care. So basically,
so you're saying that Romney care is causing your healthcare premiums to go up.
It is not nationalized, you know, healthcare or anything like that.
Sir, I'm going to ask you again. Why is your healthcare cost going up?
I'm trying to explain to you.
Well, don't explain to me. Answer a direct question. Why is your healthcare premium going up and you immediately started going into Romney care? Romney has never been president of the United States.
It is not covering people. Healthcare, you know, our prescriptions are coming from, you know, overseas for the most part.
Who's trying to stop that?
The president who tried to repeal Obamacare but didn't have an actual plan. Yeah, that guy. Oh, you quickly, we forget. I mean, I know you want to just, you know, tout the savior.
Sir, I only asked you one question and you seem to be. Tim, I was very, very kind and I was quiet and I still haven't gotten my answer. I haven't got my answer.
So my question,
sir, I wasn't. Now you're being rude. Now you're being rude.
Okay.
I'm going to ask one more time. Please stop being rude. Because you keep saying that I talk over you. People complain that I talk over you. And I did ask a question, and I was quiet, and you didn't answer it. Why are your health care premiums going up, sir?
Multiple factors, including, you know, everybody has got to have the latest and best equipment. So that costs a lot of money. Almost every night I can turn on the television and watch every hospital in this state advertise how wonderful and we should, you know, go to them, not for any particular service. There's a lot of services, a lot of things that are very expensive. Yes, and insurance companies are out there saying, you know, there's a lot of suing back and forth. There's a lot of factors and stuff. Yeah, and because we are covering people who are illegal in this country.
And what else?
They go to the
not just illegals.
Room.
Who else
they
is siphoning?
Go to the emergency room.
Tim, whom else?
Not get
Tim, whom else is also siphoning off taxpayer dollars in the healthcare system? Who else? Not just illegals. Who else?
Why don't you answer your own riddle? I don't know what you're
I already
about.
Know the answer. Peoples whose healthcare is subsidized through the Affordable Care Act. Yes?
What do you mean there's
are there
not
is
money?
Isn't the Affordable Care Act subsidizing people who cannot afford health care? Yes or no?
Yes, absolutely, because they can't afford it.
Democrats believe that health care is a...
Right.
Is it?
Absolutely.
There you go. So if you think it's a right, eat the cost, my friend. There's nothing for you to complain about. Your health care premiums are going up because it is a right. And rights have costs.
Right.
It just does.
Right.
No. Tell me how you're going to subsidize.
You don't. No. I have things that could, you know, we have lots of people who could, you know, find ways for solutions. So my question to the man who will never have on, you know, again, Josh Elliott and everything, who might be the next governor, might be, you know, a terrible candidate. How are you going to cover the cost of state health care? You know, for the employees, for the state employees, that when that goes up year after year after year and stuff, we go come back to the state taxpayers on a consistent basis and say, we need more money, we need more tax dollars and everything to pay for all these people, especially all these old people as they get older. You know, do you think that's a fair question to ask?
I think it's a fair question to ask. Of course,
You'll
I think it's a fair question.
It a
but Tim, here's the thing. And of course I'd ask it of a Republican, but I'm still trying. Okay, Tim, I'm not going to go back and forth. It was ridiculous. I want to get back to the most important thing. You believe that healthcare is a right and you believe that 350 million people should have it provided for them. Yes?
I think that we need a Medicare for all system. Where
let's try it one more time, sir.
We pay for it, Reese, through our tax dollars.
Why are you yelling?
That's
I'm
why
just,
they do
there's
it.
No reason for you to raise your voice. I asked you a simple question. For some odd reason, when it becomes difficult for you to answer, you go in every direction except the one I'm asking for. You believe that 350 million should have their health care provided for by the state. Yes?
No, by their taxpayers. By their own taxes, like they do.
Yeah, yeah, okay, but okay, by taxpayers. We should all pay for everybody's health care.
Not a English system, you know, where they have over there, where they take over it. You can go anywhere you want. You know, you pay for it through your taxes. Yeah, and if you pay, if you're rich, you pay a little more. If you're poor, you don't pay that hardly anything. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So in essence, who subsidizes?
If you ask people on a polling. It's consistently 60 to 70% of American voters believe in that system.
I don't care. First of all.
I know you don't care.
No, I'll explain to you. First of all, there used to be a time when 67% of Americans believed slavery was good. Just because 67% of people believe in it. There used to be a time when 52% of people believed that abortion was right. That's since flipped. So that's not going to ever be a good argument for me. But you know what? I do have to go. I do have to go. I have to go to a break. I tried to be reasonable with you, but I already know what the answer is. And once you hear like the whole dodging and the obstacle running, I already know what the answer is. Of course he knows that we can't, his premiums are going up because he's paying for other people. That's immediately why he started calling it Romney Care. Romney Care was something that was in Massachusetts. It's Obamacare. He knew that. He knew he had to answer it. I just leave it to them, folks. I just let them lead them right to the place where I want them to be. It's real simple. Stop thinking I'm a rookie. I improve it every day. Let's take a break. We'll be back. More news, more views on Reese on the Radio on WTIC News Talk 1080.
It's Reese on the Radio on News Talk 1080 WTIC.
Yeah, we're back in a couple of minutes. We will have gubernatorial candidate Josh Elliott on the program. We'll talk to him, see if we can keep him in for at least two breaks to extend that conversation. There's plenty of questions I want to ask him about his campaign, where it's going, what some of his policies are, how they contrast with conservative values, and the state of the government as it is, and pretty much his opposition to Ned Lamont, because those are key in the primary. The primary's coming up in less than, I guess, about 10 and a half months away, and I haven't really seen a campaign by him. So I want to talk to him about that and the and his strategy going forward. I have a conspiracy theory, which I will ask him about, that has to do with Mamdani. You might remember I talked about an article in the Hartford Current, I think it was, that was talking about Josh Elliott's campaign and saying that Josh Elliott was ripe at this moment to go after Ned Lamont's campaign if he should run again because of the popularity of Zohran Mamdani. So I want to ask him about if he's using some of Mamdani's strategy, or even I would say, is he interested in any of the Mamdani policies that he plans on implementing in New York City? We'll talk about that as well, with a whole host of other things. It was important to get to that thing with Tim. I don't understand why it goes in the direction of healthcare. I've had this discussion enough times, because there are some people out there who really don't understand the healthcare thing, and I didn't. Thank God for my ex-wife, Mary, who knows this space better than anyone. She laid it out for me when she went through the Affordable Care Act. After I had read it, there were plenty of things that I didn't understand, and she understood all of it. And she started breaking down things to me that were just absolutely crazy in this healthcare proposal. And the fact that it was over, 2,500, 2,800 pages was enough to make me go, wow, like legislation that long. Didn't make any sense. And the things that were baffling to people, and these discussions were happening everywhere, and Tim and many others ignore it. There were couples in their 60s who had no children and clearly no likelihood to have more, who were paying for prenatal care through their plan. because that was a subsidy for younger people. This idea that people could be on your health care, the parents' health care, until they were 26 years old. That reason being because Barack Obama understood that people in their 20s, up until they were about 26, 27 years old, usually did not go for their company's health care. One, because there was an opportunity to save money, and also because they're healthy. I was one of those people. I worked in corporate. That was my first job, logistics worldwide. I remember the first time I ever got a healthcare plan. I was excited. I was like, I get a healthcare plan? I only have to pay this amount? And then I found out I had to pay like $250 every 2 weeks out of my paycheck. I was like, nope, 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 nope. You save your money. He's like, no. Well, I have no reason for me to do that. And that was the case. Most 20-year-olds, if they're not going to the gym, they're relatively healthy. Even if they drink and they party all night, they're not concerned about going to the doctor or for regular health care visits. They don't. But Obamacare made sure that they did. And that had to be subsidized, too. So it's not like Tim doesn't know. It's not like people don't know why the rising cost of health care is what it is. You subsidize all of that stuff, especially to people who can't afford to get health care. Health insurance, not even health care. Health insurance. It's obvious. These people acting like they can't admit it is insane. Let's get a first check of weather and traffic. I think Bob Larson is in the Weather Center, and we got Mark Christopher. He's in the BPS Traffic Center. Hey, Mark.